I'm Jerry. I'm an addict, an alcoholic, a nicotine addict, I eat food from an emotional perspective. I've done this work as it's laid out in the Big Book with the help of a Big Book step study sponsor. I've made my amends and the help of a loving God. And I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability.
Hi, Jerry.
Every time, I think it must be God that somehow puts my name on that paper because it's a growth experience for me. And so I'm going to start with a couple of examples, then I'm going to talk through some of the things that I've learned. When I did my fourth and fifth step, it was very clear I was really resented my mother, and I had done my best to be patient, kind, and tolerant, but I still resented the heck out of her. I had one of my bosses on my list. He knew nothing about the business, was promoted above me, and all of a sudden became the expert because he was a good listener. So he had pretty much, he listened to everything that I'd said, and before you knew it, he was like the expert. So those are the kind of black and white resentments I had on my list. And just within weeks, I had an example of more of the insidious variety of resentments. So a really relatively long-term girlfriend of mine, we were together, and we were talking and asked about somebody, and she said her daughter was, she was really happy with her daughter, she was doing a lot of traveling, she was young. She said, yeah, she travels more than you did. And that has happened twice. I didn't like the tone of voice. I find it hard to believe, because I can count up over 100 countries I've been in. And when I go through the map and try to figure out where I'd like to go next, it's usually I've been there, been there, been there. But that's not the point. The point is that I was hurt, and I didn't say anything. So we'll use those as some examples as we go through learning some new things, hopefully, from our reading today. First of all, it tells us that we've got to get rid of what is blocking us. We've said that before. It's on 64.0. And what's it blocking us from? It's blocking us from sobriety. Anything like my incident with my girlfriend or with my mother or with my boss could have bothered me to the point where I had to have relief. It stops us from growth. As we have been in the program longer, we've done the whole thing, we're speaking, but life goes on. And the little ones, like with my friend, come up. And without finding new ways, learning what I'm being taught on how to handle that is what keeps me in the growth. And as we say here many times, and in 66.1, it says, the sunlight of the spirit. So, in 64.1, it says that we need to get rid of these promptly and without regret. Now, promptly means we promptly keep writing. We promptly keep reading. We set a schedule if that's what it requires. But there's a sense of urgency there. And, but the word that bothered me was without regret. So here we're talking about we want to get rid of these things that are causing us problems, and we want to get rid of them promptly and without regret. Well, without regret, I had to look that up. Regret means to feel sad. Disappointed. Disappointed over a missed opportunity. For me, with my mother, it was a missed opportunity over, there was never the mother-daughter relationship that I thought everybody else had. The definition includes sorrow around circumstances beyond our control. Sometimes shame. Like actually when my girlfriend made those comments, shame's been has in the past been a challenge for me. That was one of the feelings that came up. And wishing that I had done things differently, wishing I had acted in the moment, but I didn't know what to do in the moment. And so all of that is included in when it tells us here that we have to disclose damaged and unsaleable goods to get rid of them promptly and without regret. That's asking a heck of a lot. So, we promptly get started, but you know, the work doesn't promptly get done. I don't have this changed feeling of I can promptly say the angry man's prayer and accept my mother as she is. Then the sadness goes away. I can promptly let go that my friend certainly didn't mean to hurt me. We have to work the issue through with our hearts and minds, which is not a fast process. And that's one of the things that as I was reading this, I felt like I was using the example with my girlfriend, it was like, this ain't happening overnight. Didn't happen overnight with my mother. Her not being on the planet probably has a lot to do with how much easier it is for me to do this. So when we talk about promptly and without regret, getting rid of these things, as we do the writing, in my experience, as I did the writing, as I did the talking, it still took more time for the God of my understanding to work in my heart and mind to really provide the freedom from that freedom from that bondage. So in 64.2, it says that we are turned to look at the flaws in our own makeup. One of the things I love is that it's very clear that somebody else did something wrong. It's not letting the other person off the hook. That is still true in most cases. So that part we can, you know, it's not like we were imagining things. But when we take the focus on, put it on ourselves, then that means we have to start looking at, which I love the beginning of what we read, stop blaming people, places, and things. Stop blaming my friend for her arrogance. Stop blaming my mother for not being able to hear me. Stop blaming my boss for doing what would be, you know, maybe my mind was not totally ethical, but, you know, it was the way it goes. Stop blaming. Turn the focus around. And it says that resentment's the number one offender. So this is a big deal. This is a big deal forever, as I learn. It can destroy those of us in recovery faster and more often than anything else. Food recovery, cigarettes, alcohol, spending, to get the relief of what's churning around in our mind. And it says, from it stems resentment. From resentment stems all forms of spiritual disease. Well, I've read over there that a lot, and I thought, you know, I'm not sure I know what spiritual disease is, so I looked that up, and here's just what one person had to say about it. Spiritual disease, the ailments that caused primarily by error in our thinking related to our relationship with our Creator. Spiritual disease. There's something wrong in our thinking, and it also has to do with the relationship with our higher power. Some of the examples, it talks about how I view myself in relationship to the larger universe. Arrogance, fear, doubt. Interesting thing about doubt. Don't really think of doubt as being all that bad as maybe a spiritual disease, but being not clear can cause us to make mistakes, to have accidents, to not exercise good judgment. Ignorance. And as we know in this program, ignorance, not truly understanding ourselves. So those are some of the things that I got from reading that term spiritual disease. Thought, wow, pretty heavy stuff. So we go about listing all of these people, and one of the things that we 66.1, it says, as long as we let these things continue, do we squander the hours that are worthwhile? And interestingly, I don't see the word, maybe I just missed it, but I didn't see the word forgiveness specifically written out. But I see the angry man's prayer on 66.4. And as I thought about it, and I was doing some other reading, the cure for resentment is forgiveness. And that's what the angry man's prayer is a lot about. And you can take it another step further in some of the reading I did, which was that not only forgiveness, but then being able to care about the other person's emotional, spiritual state. And I'd read an example very similar to mine of this woman who had been snubbed by a really good friend. Everybody else thought the same thing was going on. She had forgiven her in her, you know, through her own process. But the step that she felt her higher power was talking to her about was to go see her and to see how she was doing. And her friend broke down crying, and it ended up being, she ended up caring for the very person who admitted that she had been in the wrong. So, although I don't get those exact words here, to me those are some of the things that the angry man's prayer say to me. They say forgiveness, they say care, they say care in the terms of the words patience, tolerance, helpful. if we don't do this, in 66.1, it says, to the precise extent that we permit these things, do we squander the hours which could have been used worthwhile? Another way of translating that to me was, we have to be vigilant and obedient in everything and working these steps. And then finally, in 66.1, it talks about what I also got from it. I kept looking for the words cunning, baffling, and powerful. We say it, I think, in AA meetings, I guess. But baffling comes up in 34.2. But if I look at this resentment as a way that my disease is attempting to get me to just slide off slide out into the dark a little bit, slide off that path just a little bit, that that is how something as the simple resentment can be a cunning, baffling, powerful tool that over time, not addressed, can cause my disease to be able to get a foothold. In 14.6, we say it's absolute necessity to demonstrate these principles in all my affairs. In 37.2, it says, it talks about being caused to go out to drink. It says, some insanely trivial excuse for taking the first drink. And 67.2, which we could spend a whole Sunday talking about, are the turnarounds. But the last thing is ignorance. To me, what the turnarounds also show is, if I don't, the turnarounds is where the ignorance of my beliefs, my position, are brought through to me, so that I can be relieved of them and move on into the sunlight of the spirit, and to be given the courage then, from a codependent perspective, to take whatever is the right action I need to take. So thank you.